Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always like to remind you, especially if you're new to this, that on Sunday mornings we have a Zoom fellowship service every Sunday morning where you can watch the lesson, the meditation, see other Unity folks, listen to music. So if you're not on our e-newsletter or weekly update, because that's where the Zoom link comes out, you can always go to our website, which is unitycenteroflight.org, and you can find the link there or sign up so that you can be on our mailing list. And as always, you know, we are very thankful for all the donations that you've been sending to support the work we do at Unity Center of Light. And if you, again, if you're new and you're not, you've been inspired by this message and you don't know how to donate, if you're watching this on YouTube, just click the More button below and you will see all the wonderful ways you can donate. And we thank you in advance for your donations. Right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thank you. Well, good morning and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, July 23rd. The key word is renew, and the affirmation is, I am restored by the Spirit of God within me. Renewal is part of the rhythm of daily life. Eating and drinking to nourish and replenish my body, resting to quiet my mind, and sleeping after a day of activity are all ways to renew myself. But sometimes those efforts aren't quite enough to sustain me. At times when I feel drained at depth, I may need spiritual renewal. God, the one presence and power, is with me always, but it is up to me to keep my awareness of God strong. When I awaken, I say a prayer of blessing for what the day will bring. Throughout the day, I feel God's presence all around me. When I prepare for sleep, I say a prayer of gratitude for all the day has brought. In God, I am renewed moment by moment, day by day. And the scripture reading is taken from 2 Corinthians 4:18, and it reads, "We look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message of the Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So here we go on another journey, trying to understand more about this other aspect of ourselves we keep hearing about, you know, the spiritual side of us. And so this talk is really going to dig deeper into that idea of how do we really tap in and know the spiritual side of us more than just as an intellectual process that we, you know, we know it, but we might not really know how to attain it or get into that space. So today's lesson, translation leads to transformation, is going to be encompassing two different parts. One is a part we talked about in another lesson a long time ago, and we're going to enhance that with some new ideas around trying to understand the divine aspect of ourselves. So, you know, we're forever on this quest to better understand what we're actually doing and what we're actually expecting from our journey on the spiritual path. And whether or not we realize that we are trying to determine the difference between being on a perceptual journey versus a spiritual journey. Now, a perceptual journey is one in which what we believe to be true is based on our thoughts, our feelings, our opinions, our beliefs, all of which is based on how we view the world and all that has and is occurring in our individual lives. Now, from a previous lesson, We talked about how our common life journey is based on our localized knowledge that's grounded in our localized viewpoint. Now, from an article written by Jim Lockhart titled Change or Transformation, and it comes from a website titled New Thought Evolutionary, this localized viewpoint leads us on what Jim Lockhart calls the translational journey. I mean, you know, local knowledge and translational knowledge both have to do with interpreting your life experience from your worldview, from your own language, meaning from your own thought speak. And I don't know if I came up with that or not, but thought speak referring to how we strive consciously or unconsciously to plant the message of our personal perceptions into whatever life lessons we are learning. And let me say it again. So it's where we're, this idea of thought speak is, you know, you think, you speak. That's what I'm calling thought speak. And it causes us to try to plant the message of our personal perceptions, how we think, what makes us think the way we think, into whatever life lessons we are learning, okay? Now, Deepak Chopra explains that the localized you, with your localized mind, is referring to the space-time container you perceive to be you and the life you are experiencing. You know, a whole lot of you look in the mirror, yep, that's me, all right? Or this is the way I am, this is the way I show up in my life. So he said, that's the localized mind, localized you with your localized mind. And in addition, Jim Lockhart explains that the translational mind and or the localized mind strives to grasp higher spiritual wisdom by breaking it down into understandable chunks that can be chewed, swallowed, and digested, thereby allowing us to use this knowledge to give some coherence and meaning to our lives. So think about that's how we do it. So you hear a message like this one, or you read a book that's talking about the spiritual process, or however you're doing it, then you try to, the translational mind is trying to translate that into how do I, you know, make that work in my life? How do I get it to add some coherence or meaning to my life, okay? But, you know, the translational process, even though it increases our localized mind to have a greater understanding of higher wisdom, it does not necessarily lead to the evolutionary process of transformation. Unless we become able to allow it to revolutionize our thinking and our conscious awareness of what is truly true, okay? So the translational journey, you know, in that you're still you, you know, pretty much the localized you, all right? Yes, you will have greater knowledge, but the greater knowledge does not necessarily lead to spiritual transformation, okay? So again, on the translational journey, okay, you are still pretty much the localized you. And yes, you will gain greater knowledge as we study and read more and listen to more talks and so forth, you know, we will gain greater knowledge. But the greater knowledge does not necessarily lead to spiritual transformation, okay? So to reiterate what we've read in several times on Revealing Word, you know, because we're talking about regeneration. So this regeneration is the transformation that takes place through bringing all the forces of mind and body to increase our awareness of the truth of our being, our true non-localized self, which we often call the Christ ideal. It is the unification of spirit, soul, mind, and body in spiritual oneness. So regeneration begins its work in the conscious mind and completes its work in the subconscious. The first step is the cleansing of our mind, heart, soul, and body of all thoughts that are not in alignment with the God of our being. Okay. Now, and again, you know, if you're watching this for the first time, I do have a tendency to put a lot on a slide, but I just makes it easy for you to go back and reread it for yourself. Anyway, I know that this explanation can create a very challenging mental image of trying to let go of much of the chatter that's constantly going on in our mind. That's what it's saying. You know, getting rid of this chatter that's going on, or letting go of, I like that, letting go of, because we're always talking about letting go. So letting go of much of the chatter that's constantly going on in our minds that has nothing to do with with our spiritual quest. But as challenging as this sounds, you know, trying to clear our mind and let go of all this, a lot of times, nonsense that's going on in our minds, Tim Lockhart explains that there are transformational possibilities embedded in the insecurities, fears, heartaches, illnesses, losses, and other struggles and hardships in our lives. So as we are working to let go, that translational process of trying to let go can also lead us to transformation. And the challenge for us is that we just choose to try to operate and negotiate our way through life only with our localized mind. If you think about it, that's what we do. You know, we're only really a lot of times trying to negotiate our way through life with our localized mind. And when we're doing that, we're missing out on the infinite possibilities that are available to us in our non-localized mind. Okay? Meaning there is an aspect of every one of us, individually and collectively, that is non-localized and completely unaffected by our life's challenges. Now, we have said the same thing in other ways, okay? So, you know, it is the non-localized universal you that is beyond space and time, and it is the interdimensional you. And this is the aspect of each of us that we're striving to know and learn how to live from, okay? As one mystic explains it, you know, he explains the non-localized self, and I said some mystics, I don't remember where I got this from. He says that you are an angel. You always have been and always will be. You are temporarily on this planet as a physical 3D form, and that piece of you is human. But you falsely believe the whole of you is only human. It is what you perceive yourself and your life to be, because it is only what you can see right here and right now. But you and your life are not the whole of you. Only a portion of all that you are is visible to you right now. The rest of all that you are is hidden, but you are still connected to it, and it is always available to you. Okay? So, and I'm going to do an analogy later that you're familiar with to really explain some of what we just read. But as we read in Isaiah 41:13, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Okay? That's the non-localized aspect of our existence that I'm talking about. We're only seemingly aware of the localized aspect of our existence. That's what that mystic was saying. We only seem to, you know, we look in the mirror and say, this is all that I am. We look around us and all that we have and own and where we live and who we associate with, this is all that I am. But this idea is that there's more to that. There's a non-localized aspect of us. And that's what Isaiah 41:13 is saying. "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Which means no matter what is going on in your life, it is never too late to submit the localized you and what you have come to believe is happening in your life right now to the non-localized you, which can heal you at whatever level you can believe is yours to claim right now. And because it is yours to claim, right, that part of you, the aspect of your localized self that feels it can claim healing or whatever it is from the non-localized you, claim it, okay, because it is yours to claim. And it will show up in ways you know of, and it will show up in ways you do not know of. In other words, you call on this non-localized aspect of your being, it will show up in ways that you know. Maybe it's a doctor or a lawyer or, I don't know, whatever, you know, or your friend or the sign on the side of a bus. All of a sudden you get it, okay? It'll show up in ways you know, but it'll show up in ways you do not know. So we need to understand the connection of the translational spiritual life, which is a horizontal path. So in the translational spiritual life, we are moving along and we're gaining spiritual knowledge, but we're really just moving along the same path. It's a horizontal path. With the transformational spiritual life, that is a vertical path. because you are letting go of some of the burdens of the thinking and the fears and the things that are weighing you down, because you're letting go of some of that, you're rising to a higher level of consciousness. And a horizontal path is where you gain new spiritual knowledge and understanding. But don't do much with it in terms of allowing it to transform your way of being, thinking, and believing. Okay? So we're on this horizontal path, we're gaining new knowledge, but are we allowing it to transform us, transform our way of being and thinking and believing? Okay? So transformation is the key to tapping into the non-localized aspect of yourself. And this is how Ken Wilber, most of you know Ken Wilber, he's an American philosopher and writer of interpersonal psychology. He explains the horizontal or translational path. He says the translational life is like learning a new language. You learn to look at your life and its meaning in new ways and gaining new perspectives according to whichever spiritual tradition is being presented. So those of us in Unity and been studying in Unity for a long time, you know, we've gained this sort of this new language, this new way of talking about spirituality. But it says most of the energy of traditional religion is in the realm of translation. Anytime you're dealing with dogma and commandments and right and wrong and praying for things or for healing, you are at the level of translation. However, it's important to note that the translational process is both a necessary and important level that can lead to spiritual transformation. Okay. Now, don't be thrown by the explanation that if you're at the level where you are praying for things or healing, that you're at the level of translation. Okay. As Ken Wilber explains, the level of translation is a necessary step towards transformation. Okay? It's the idea of praying knowing. Okay, a lot of times when we're praying hoping. But when you pray hoping or you're doing affirmations and they begin to the translation begins to transform you, where you no longer are praying hoping, yet you're praying knowing. That's what he's saying. But he said we have to start out at the level of translation. We start at this level of localized, our localized mind dealing with what's going on in our lives. And there's a lot of hope and faith. And we say faith, and a lot of times we really mean hope. But he's saying you do reach a level of transformation where you pray knowing. You just know that what you've asked for is already yours. Okay? So again, it's at the level of translation where we're trying to understand how to incorporate these spiritual ideals and spiritual practices into our lives. It's a level at which we have to take what we have learned about the spiritual life and work our way through incorporating it into our thinking, feeling, and believing. Okay. So Ken Wilber, he goes on to say, transformation requires radical change. See, there's not a lot of real radical change in translation because you're trying to translate it so you can understand it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're allowing it to transform you. But transformation requires radical change. And in terms of spirituality, those operating at the transformational level can be called mystics, having cultivated a profound inner life which leads to significant changes in their outer lives. Okay? They are, of course, varying degrees, though, of both translation and transformation. That's the key, right? So it's not an all or nothing. You know, you have levels within yourself, or degrees within yourself, that are moving from translation to transformation. And as Ken Wilber explains further, people who are at these different levels do not experience the same world differently. They actually experience different worlds. Think about that. They actually experience different worlds. Think about how much we have to let go of to allow ourselves to evolve vertically to a higher transcendent understanding and practice of spiritual principles, you know, that we're learning. Think about how much we have to let go of. So that's why he's saying they experience different worlds. So a person of a very high consciousness and a person maybe of a typical lower consciousness who's more connected to the localized mind than the one who might be a little bit more connected to the non-localized mind can look at the same world, but they're seeing two different worlds, okay? And Ken Wilber explains further what is necessary to move from the horizontal path of translation to the vertical path of transformation. He says, one of the paradoxes of spiritual growth is that we need a very affirmative mindset for translation to occur. Let me say it again. One of the paradoxes of spiritual growth is that we need a very affirmative mindset for translation to occur. That we understand. Positive thinking to the max, as it were. Okay. But for transformation to occur, we must break down our inner defenses, reveal what we have repressed, and shake the self out of its belief systems to allow radical change. See, translation is not easy, but transformation is a huge ordeal. All right? So that's the purpose of this lesson, for us to understand what a tremendous amount of letting go we have to do to move from just being in a localized mind to beginning to tapping into the non-localized mind in which we live and breathe and have our being. And in the same vein, Jim Lockhart makes the following observation. And this can be disturbing to hear, okay? It can be disturbing and confusing to hear what I'm getting ready to say. He says, often it is only when we are, but I want you to know, often when it's only when we're disturbed that we have a tendency to really listen and try to understand what higher wisdom is trying to get us to understand, okay? So, and we've said that before, that if you are not disturbed by what you're hearing, it doesn't rattle you enough to try to, like we said, break pieces off, chew on them until you can get an understanding. But what I'm getting ready to say to you can be both disturbing and confusing. Jim Lockhart says quite pointedly that this has been a weakness of New Thought. The New Thought teachers, with their focus on relentlessly positive thinking as the ultimate spiritual goal. You know, just have positive thinking and everything's going to be all right. He said that that's a shortcoming, a weakness. He said, while this is an accurate way to approach translational or horizontal change, you know, it is wholly inadequate for transformation or vertical change. You get what he's saying? So, yeah, we can affirm and do all the things that we do, but a lot of times it just keeps us still on that horizontal path. We're not growing in the way that we would like to grow. And we in New Thought tend to be good at horizontal change, but vertical change has been, you know, not really been part of our core curriculum. We'll say let go and let God, but is that really the emphasis that we've been, you know, striving for? And, you know, that's ripe for discussion. I hope those who are in the Zoom session, you know, are open to really discussing that idea, to see what we can pull from that. But for me personally, and I always say to Pam, that's a silly thing to say, but for me personally. If you say, but for me, it is personal. Right? So, but anyway, but for me personally, that is what is always on my mind when I'm dealing with challenging situations in my life, okay? Or working to create a Sunday lesson. There is always in my mind the thought that I am not doing a good enough job of fully integrating myself in making these core changes in my being that help me to really tap into the principles and practices that we are learning, okay? And that's the reason for this lesson. Is are we doing all we can do to move ourselves from just horizontal to some vertical growth? And if you're in the same dilemma about your life, you know, I think it is because we really can't visualize our divine connection, our divine non-localized self. We can't really grasp the divine idea that we are in God and God is in us. And yes, you know, we can know it intellectually, but do we know it in every fiber of our being? So in an effort to try to bring more clarity to this idea of our divine oneness, listen to this expanded explanation of the fish in the ocean to further explain how the localized life and the non-localized life are one. This is sort of what Jesus said, the Father and I are one, or I and the Father are one. You know, with this fish story, it's going to try to help us understand how the localized life and the non-localized life are one. And yes, this is a lot on one slide. You can close your eyes and listen to it. But again, I just thought this is something people might want to go back to. So as a fish lives and moves and has its being in the ocean, the water that the fish breathes into itself is local to the fish. It is part of its localized consciousness. So is, to some extent, the water that is immediately around the fish. This is its localized environment that the fish is intimately familiar with. But the total ocean is vast and extends far beyond the local space-time perception of the fish. The water that the fish breathes becomes part of the fish and still at the same time remains part of the non-local vast expanse of the ocean. So therefore, the localized fish is connected to every molecule of the entire non-localized ocean by way of the local medium in which it lives and breathes and has its being. The fish, in the grand scheme of things, has access to the local and non-local life force known as the ocean. Okay. And I hope that was kind of a helpful analogy for us to understand our own process. Okay. So the life force we take in comes from the vast, unlimited ocean of potential that God is, which means that it has within it all the potential and all the possibilities that God is. However, when our ego mind takes possession of the life force, it localizes it and confines it to our limited understanding, beliefs, and perceptions. In essence, it is our unconscious modus operandi to, when we are in a translational consciousness, to reduce the life force to the level of our way of thinking, perceiving, and believing, instead of allowing the life force to raise us up to the level of our God mind, the level of unlimited potential, the level of transformation. So it is possible that we have unconsciously created a barrier within our mind to the existence and vast potential of the non-local mind, the mind that is God. And when I saying that, it makes me think of, you know, when Jesus, it said he tore the veil in the temple from top to bottom. Thanks, son. All right. He tore the veil from top to bottom. So he was, in essence, the metaphysics of that is he was removing that veil that keeps us from being aware of the non-localized existence in which we have, live and breathe and have our being. As Paul said, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. And if that is so, then everything in our mind, if we have this block, is restricted by our lack of understanding of the infinite nature of the life force behind every thought. And as one mystic explains, you are in a quantum state of flux created by your thoughts. Okay, let me say it again. You are in a quantum state of flux created by your thoughts, meaning as this life force of infinite potential enters our mind, we reformulate it into a quantum state that we call myself or my life. So we bring the unlimited and we take it down and we make it limited, you know, by our thinking. So if we could truly grasp the reality of an infinite, non-local concept of mind, if we could truly grasp the reality that we live and breathe and have our being in an infinite, non-local concept of mind, we would understand in an instant that we are not confined to who we are, what we know, or what we are experiencing in this moment. We'd intuitively know that we have infinite, non-local potential by way of our connection to the infinite, non-local God mind, that mind which is unaffected by the local events and circumstances occurring in our lives. And so it is important for us to understand that no matter how much knowledge we acquire, it is still only local translational knowledge, which means that compared to the non-local transformational wisdom of the universe, it is just a teeny tiny speck of knowledge. And in Sadhguru, remember I used to talk about Sadhguru a lot. Sadhguru, he says, in your quest for truth, you do not want to have any assumptions about what truth is. because you will find yourself just trying to prove that what you assume to be true is true. And if somebody tells you that your assumptions are true, will that make you feel any better? A true truth seeker makes no assumptions about what is true or not true. A true truth seeker identifies with what she does not know so that she is constantly seeking to expand her awareness. This cannot happen when you have a fixed philosophy or ideology. The goal is always truth and liberation. The goal is always to be free, truth and liberation. And a true seeker is in a constant mode of seeking. A true seeker identifies with his ignorance of the whole truth, not with his limited localized knowledge. Okay. What Sadhguru is sharing is typically not our way. We desperately want to find and know truth, which keeps us in a translational mindset, meaning we're constantly trying to translate what we perceive as truth from our limited, localized mind perspective. And I admit that what I'm basically doing every week as I formulate these lessons, I'm doing it by translating the information that I research, right? So I'm in a translational mode, right? And yes, much of what I share does come from my mind, from seemingly out of the blue. In other words, because I work with this so much, you know, that's probably a fact, I'm thinking about this all the time. You know, it just, things percolate up inside of me, as my friend likes to say. And they lead me on this path that ends up being a Sunday lesson, okay? But as was said earlier, translation eventually leads to transformation. Translation eventually leads to transformation. And that translation is a necessary and important step to spiritual transformation. So it's not to stop any of this that we're doing, this searching and reading and studying and thinking and praying. It's not to stop any of that, because it will eventually lead us to transformation. And so it is for all of us. The more we contemplate truth by way of breaking it down into understandable chunks that can be chewed, swallowed, and digested, that will allow us to use this knowledge to give some coherence and meaning to our lives. The more we do that, the more open and receptive we become. The more open and receptive we become to renewing our minds. That right there is the process that we want to continue on. Continue what we're doing, but allow ourselves to expand. So I'm going to end with this quote from Rumi. It says, "A true seeker of truth looks beyond what seems to be apparent and contemplates and remains open to what is hidden." And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, gently close your eyes and place your feet flat to the earth and release any tension from your neck and your shoulders. Feel your entire body letting go in preparation for time in meditation with God as your focus. Breathe in and out gently, and then once again. A quiet time of meditation opens our minds and our hearts as we take time to still our thoughts and relax our bodies. We find it easy to tune into that holy place within. Taking a few deep cleansing breaths, we calm and quiet any disturbing thoughts or emotions. I invite you now to take the following words as your very own. I am centered and poised. Any appearance of lack or chaos in my life seems distant as I feel the calm peace of my soul deep within. In this place, I hold fast to the highest vision of who I am. I believe in myself and I follow my heart. I'm open to new possibilities, new beginnings. I can reach for the fulfillment of my heart's desire, having faith in myself and allowing desire a chance to flower and bloom in my life. These obstacles are only twigs and branches on my path that I gently and easily remove out of my way as I continue forward My energy of quiet determination and faith molds any situation to a positive outcome. I take positive action toward my good, and my good multiplies. New doors of possibility open for me with each step, and I feel life supporting me each moment. Let's take the next few moments to allow the Holy Spirit to connect with us as we enter into that secret place of the Most High. Without the sound of my voice, use this hallowed time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. Thank you, God, for your light that shines in and through us. We acknowledge your answers to our prayers, and we are grateful for new beginnings. What will we do today to encourage, uplift, and support each other? We will be about our Father's business and just love the people. We say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings.
I like the special way you ended that. So this is the time we give thanks to the abundance that comes into our lives, as I was saying in the talk today, from the non-localized aspect of our existence. Things that are blessing us all the time in many different ways. And so it's knowing and feeling that all the blessings are in your lives. Let's say our prosperity prayer together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
And now, you know, holding your offering in your hand, you know, this is your spiritual home or the place we all get our spiritual food from. You know, we give thanks for all of the blessings that come in to support Unity Center of Light. So holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, let's say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen.
And now we have light notes.
Yes. So light notes for today, July 23rd. We'll be collecting backpacks and school supplies for Bowie area youth from this month through to August the 13th. Backpacks for middle and high school students must be see-through backpacks. That is the new request in the schools. You may bring in the backpacks and supplies on our in-person Sunday or email Patty to make arrangements to drop them off at the church office. Also, let Patty know if you would like to pack or deliver backpacks to area schools. On Sunday, August the 6th, we'll have our live in-person service with meditation and music. The music will be by Quiet the Mountain. Be sure to join us for the service and our fellowship with refreshments afterwards. On Sunday, August the 13th, our guest speaker will be Michelle Senegal with music from Robert Hitz. Our next Women of Unity get-together is Saturday, August the 26th at 2:30 p.m. Remember that this is an open group and all women may attend. We hope you think about it and mark your calendars for the next one. Our potluck lunch will be at the church office. More details to follow. World Day of Prayer is September 13th to the 14th. This is a 24-hour prayer vigil. Everyone may participate from wherever you are, for 1 hour. Please email Patty and let her know which hour you would like to participate, and she will sign you up. Thanks so much for your participation. And that concludes our announcements.
All right, so...
what time is it? It is time to bless the path that we will walk this week. And we're going to say our affirmation with...
passion.
Passion, yes. How can I forget that word?
Zeal.
With passion, zeal, and gusto together.
Right. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful. All right, and right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service this week. We look forward, if any of you are new to this and you would like to join our 10:30 Zoom fellowship, we will look forward to being part of that. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.